Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show. Tom, we better enjoy today, which is pretty much a normal summer temperature, is like 100 to 102, because then tack on another 10 degrees.
Yes, sir. We're heading that way. Over the weekend, it's going to be up around 111, 112, 113 maybe by Monday and Tuesday. But here is a tiny little silver lining to this dark cloud.
And what would that be?
A 20% chance for rain Tuesday night and Wednesday.
Nice. So a little
but
bit
it's still going to be about a 111 high for Wednesday with some rain.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting mix in my mind.
Well, because the very, very hot temperatures sometimes kind of bring on the summer thunderstorm. So let's hope that will be the way it goes this year, because we need to make up a lot of lost ground.
Yes, sir.
From the non-soon, as they call it, that happened last year. It's Buckmaster. It is a Thursday afternoon, June the 10th, 2021. We're now 10 and a half years this month into the radio project in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and really an extensive, of historic proportion, our archive going back to our first show back the first week of January in 2011. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month, we bring in the District 1 Pima County Supervisor Democrat. Rex Scott is with me in studio. Supervisor Scott, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing really well, and it is terrific to see you looking so good after the ordeal that you had on your Alaska
what
trip.
What a month this has been, you know. So every day is a step forward for sure. And congratulations on your wedding anniversary. I understand you were able to get out of town for a little while anyway.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, we both celebrated May weddings in our lives, you and I, and my wife and I celebrated 27 years of marriage on May 28th, and we spent four wonderful days and nights up in Sedona.
That's a great location to get away, get to go out to eat and enjoy yourself, and it's probably a little cooler up there.
We loved it, and I will tell you and all of your listeners, if you ever have the chance to hike the West Fork Trail in Oak Creek Canyon, it is one of the most memorable hikes that either my wife or I have been on in our entire lives.
Wow.
Just amazing, the canyon walls and all the vegetation, and the creek was flowing. It was just
gorgeous. Beautiful. I'm very concerned, and I know District 1 residents are, and really the whole city and county of Pima County. There's been two attacks on Jewish synagogues over the last couple of weeks. There's no place for this in this community.
No, there absolutely isn't. And every time you think that we've made a certain amount of progress with regard to snuffing out that kind of hatred, an incident like this reminds you that we still have progress to make. And as somebody who worked with young people throughout his entire career, that kind of hatred and prejudice starts at a very young age. And the people who engage in those kinds of actions aren't born that way. That is learned behavior. And we need to be working every day to make sure that we can diminish that kind of attitude once and for all.
And hopefully we'll get an update tomorrow. Sheriff Nanos will be with me in studio, see what the sheriff's department is doing. And I know when City Councilman Cunningham, you heard the interview yesterday,
yes,
said that Chief Magnus very much with the city of police, very concerned and involved too. So there's a big effort underway to find out the culprits here and hopefully stop any further incidents. We do not need this in our community. Let's talk about your statement that was given to the city council. They began the process with this whole differential water rate increase that will hit residents of the unincorporated area like our household and others, which could turn out to be a pretty hefty rate increase.
I appreciated the opportunity to address my colleagues in city government on this issue. And although I appreciated that opportunity and was pleased to have the chance to speak out on behalf of not just my constituents, but all of the ratepayers who would be hit by this solely because they live in unincorporated Pima County. And remember, there are ratepayers in the Tucson Water Service area who live in Oro Valley or Marana or South Tucson. They're not affected by this.
Why not?
Because if you recall, one of the initial justifications for these higher rates was as some kind of inducement for either annexation or incorporation into either the city of Tucson or one of those other municipalities. So that was something that you heard said quite frequently by some of the proponents of this proposal within Tucson city government. I don't see how you get people to engage in some kind of positive behavior
when they feel like they are being punished.
Exactly. Exactly. By clubbing them over the head and reaching into their pockets.
Yeah.
It's just that there's no cost of service justification for this. That's been said by Tucson officials many times. And you saw the report from the Citizens Water Advisory Committee for Tucson Water that was issued just 6 days before the public hearing, in which they said normally when a rate increase of any kind is proposed, there's not only some solid justification for it that is related to cost of service, but there's also some stated purpose for the revenues that will be generated. Neither of those are in place, and it's almost as if our colleagues in city government are saying, we can do this, we're going to do this, we'll justify it and figure out the use of the money along the way. That's just inappropriate. And the people that I represent who are going to be affected by this are justifiably angry, because many of them have been Tucson Water ratepayers for over 40 years. They've always been charged the same rates as every other customer of Tucson Water.
33 years for this individual in our household. So yeah, long term, we've been paying our bills to Tucson Water.
Exactly. And the city gets close to 80% of our residential and industrial allocation of Central Arizona Project water because they set a service area back in the late 1970s that extended as far north as the village of Catalina and as far south as Corona de Tucson. Over a third of their ratepayers are outside the city limits. They say that there are other cities within the state of Arizona that charge differential rates. That's certainly the case, but there's no other jurisdiction that's looking at charging differential rates to such a substantial portion of their ratepayers. And normally those differential rates are charged to new ratepayers who come into the service area as a result of some kind of new development. But to do this for existing ratepayers who, like you, have been customers of the utility for 33 years, it's just, it really is unconscionable. And watching our colleagues in city government try to justify this and explain it, it is something that has caused a great deal of frustration and even anger among my constituents.
The goodwill factor has just really been tested here, let's put it this way. And we were going to have a joint meeting, which you were very much, I think you were kind of sparking this joint meeting with the city and county. That meeting now has been canceled. That meeting was for tomorrow, as I believe.
You're absolutely correct. I got an official notice via email from the clerk of the board yesterday morning that the meeting had been canceled. No reason was given for the cancellation, and I have not heard the precise reasons for the cancellation. But our constituents, all of our constituents, whether we represent the city or one of the five districts on the Board of Supervisors, expect us to work collaboratively and productively together, not just in talking about our various positions on this issue, but on the other items of mutual concern between the city and the county. This definitely has injected some divisiveness into the relationship, but it can't, Bill, be allowed to damage the relationship. That's not what our constituents expect from us. Again, they expect us to work together in concert and find common ground on issues of concern to them.
Now there's this new wrinkle in the water situation. One of the major water treatment plants is going to have to be shut down. Why don't we pick up on that and how that might impact this whole issue of the differential water rates? Some are saying, Rex Scott, this is now with this new issue, this is not the time to be talking about changing water rates and everything else. So let's pick up on that after we take the break. But right now, Rex Scott, I want to talk about my favorite bakery up in District 1,
yeah,
which is Mona's Danish Bakery. They have done just a beautiful way of weathering the storm through COVID. And the owner and chief baker, Steve, says, you know, he's worked so hard. He's taken Mondays off this summer. He deserves it. And they're going to the summer hours. The summer hours basically mean closing a little bit earlier in the afternoon. It will not affect the breakfast, which opens at 6:30 in the morning. I've been raving about the wonderful breakfast that Ann and I had Sunday morning up at Mona's Danish Bakery. A couple of eggs over easy hash browns and some wonderful bacon. It was a terrific terrific breakfast, which was then supplemented by some of their bread right out of the oven. Oh my goodness, Rex.
Wonderful.
It was a terrific breakfast. They're open right now. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, open for lunch. If you want to do breakfast now, they can accommodate that too. The website is monasdanishbakery.com. We'll have more with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. And if you would like to weigh in and have a comment or question for Supervisor Scott, he would be happy to entertain that question or comment at 790-2040. Be right back.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Coming up at 12:30, we're going to go one-on-one with Dr. Teresa Cullen. She is the Pima County Health Director. Rex Scott is with me in studio, Pima County Supervisor. Should be an interesting discussion with Dr. Cullen. And actually, the Health Department was acknowledged, Rex, I don't know if you're aware of this, but they got a national award for their work during COVID. So
I am aware of this, and we are so fortunate to have somebody of the caliber and experience of Dr. Cullen heading up our health department during this critical time. She and our chief medical officer, Dr. Garcia, have provided a stellar leadership throughout this time. And the staff of the health department, especially the outreach that they make to residents of our community who perhaps had some difficulty registering for immunization appointments online, the personal approach that they took to those people, my staff and I have just been amazed and impressed with everything that they've done for District 1 constituents who contacted our office, especially during the beginnings of the vaccine rollout. We're very blessed as a community to have Dr. Cullen and Dr. Garcia here.
And Dr. Cullen took over really at the height of the COVID, June 1st. She had retired from the U.S. Public Health Service, 25 years there on active duty as a chief medical information officer and director of health information for the Veterans Health Administration. So she has terrific credentials. And I think she came to Pima County at the right time, certainly.
Yes. Her experience and knowledge are just indispensable. And she's also one of the most unflappable people that you could ever meet. Nothing seems to faze her. Her work ethic, her ability to put in just monstrously long hours and do it all with a smile on her face. It's impressive.
She'll be coming up at about 12:35. Now, the groundwater on Tucson's south side has become so contaminated that Tucson Water will soon be shutting down the plant that has been treating it for some 27 years. This was a component that was used by the fire department. It was like a foam that got a chemical component that's very dangerous.
Right.
But it did get into the drinking water. But Tucson Water was not serving contaminated water, but they want to make sure that they can continue to serve safe water. So this goes offline. It just seems, Rex Scott, that the timing with this differential water rate with now this, basically, as Paul Cunningham said on the air with me yesterday, and you heard the interview, this is a huge deal for the area, this water treatment plant going down.
I think city officials made a very wise and prudent decision to shut that plant down. As one of them said, you can't go back once you reach a certain point in terms of the contamination from the chemicals that caused this decision. And you'd certainly also think that they wouldn't want any other matter, especially one as divisive within the community as the differential water rates proposal, to distract them from what has now become priority number one, not just for the utility, but for city government overall.
And the drought we're in right now, and it wouldn't it seem like a prudent decision for the council when they meet now again on the differential water rates? I believe it's the 22nd of June. Postpone this till the new year.
I think it would send a signal to every rate payer within the Tucson Water Service area that they understand what the priorities are. And again, because there's no cost of service rationale for these higher rates, they are not going to be at all harmed or affected if they put this off until some later date after this matter is more, with the plant shutdown is more effectively resolved. And again, that was the recommendation from their own Citizens Water Advisory Committee, even before we knew about the issue of the plant that had to be shut down.
Pima County operates on what is called a fiscal year. In other words, there will be a new budget program beginning on July the 1st. What can residents of District 1 expect when it comes to road repair in the upcoming 12 months beginning July 1?
Well, under the policy that was passed by the previous board in 2019, often known as the PAYGO policy, we're allowed
pay-as-you-go policy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. We're allowed to use certain forms of short-term debt known as certificates of participation to infuse some additional funds into road repair in any given year. And we made a decision as a board to infuse an additional $50 million into the road repair program next year. That's going to allow us to repair an additional 130 miles of roads beyond what was already budgeted using a combination of both state and local funds. And most of those roads, as you and I know, being District 1 residents, are within our district. And so most of the roads that are part of the road repair plan for next year are within District 1. And I'm very proud and happy to be able to say that to you and to your listeners. And we're always going to be looking for ways to accelerate the pavement preservation program, the PAYGO program, and get more resources into it.
Is the program available, this year's road work program, available to the public to look at what is planned?
It is, absolutely. They can go to our website, our District 1 website. We have links to the lists of all the roads that are planned for next year, both the neighborhood or local roads and also the arterial or collector roads. We have that list on our website, or you can also find them on the Pima County Department of Transportation website.
How about constituent outreach now as the pandemic starts to wind down? Are we talking about the county getting the board back together in a face-to-face session?
We are. We're not, and we could do that now,
right?
In terms of local conditions for the pandemic. However, there is construction that is going on in the board meeting room that will not be concluded until August. So the earliest meeting that we can have in the board meeting room because of that construction is going to be August 16.
And you, as a new supervisor, really have not had a meeting with face-to-face with your colleagues.
I have not. I have not. And there's one of my colleagues, Supervisor Christie, who I've had a number of terrific phone conversations mm-hmm. with. And, of course, I see him on our Zoom meetings every time we meet. But I've never met Supervisor Christie in person. And looking forward to when I'm able to do that. We're starting to have more in-person meetings in the office and out in the community. Some community groups are starting to have more in-person meetings, but some of them are still meeting online. I met with a Rotary Club the other day and was thinking that they might want to meet in person, but they're still comfortable, this club, doing online meetings. So it's starting to open back up, and I think that's a testament to the dedication of everybody in this community in terms of following the mitigation measures that we had in place for a while, and most importantly, getting vaccinated.
I want to say in the remaining couple of minutes, we have, of course, this is the prime fire season going on right now. We have a huge fire up in the Globe and Superior area. It could turn out to be one of the, in terms of acreage, the largest wildfires in Arizona history. And of course, anyone that was around a year ago this month remembers the horrible situation with the Catalinas burning pretty much from one end of the mountain range to the other, the horrible air quality situation, and some really valiant firefighters that stepped up to save a lot of homes in the Tucson foothills. be cautious, everybody. And I know that they've been handing out brochures to people who are going up to Mount Lemmon, urging people to be very cautious. We certainly do not need that this month or any month here in Pima County.
No, and it's impressive, Bill, as a new supervisor to hear the work of, for example, the Regional Flood Control District to make sure that any of the
sensitive vegetation areas.
Exactly. Yeah. The fire damaged areas that if we have a monsoon this year, to mitigate against any damage to our washes or to homes, if some of that fire debris came down into the washes. Talking with the Natural Resources and Parks and Recreation Director about program that he has to deal with bufflegrass and other non-native grasses, and how he wants to work with other departments, not just within county government, but within the state and federal governments as well. So it's impressive to see how the county is responding to the Bighorn fire and its aftermath.
All right, Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, we will look forward to your visit with us in studio in July. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you, Bill.
All right, Dr. Cullen is coming up, the Pima County Health Director. Lots to talk about as she reflects over her first year as the Health Director, joining really at the height of the pandemic. And the good news, when I look at some of these numbers, some of the caseload numbers on COVID are sometimes less than 10 cases in the county, so we're on the right track. Be right back.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCare2UAZ.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Yes, it's going to be a very, very hot weekend. Temperatures over 100, I don't know, 110. After that, we kind of stop counting. But it actually would be a great weekend to go buy Green Things. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and speak with the knowledgeable people over at Green Things and say, yes, I'd like some plants that will survive this very hot weather, but looking ahead to hopefully the summer rainy season, which officially the season begins June 15th. That would be kind of early for the rain, but who knows? So some plants that would do well with a little bit of rain. That's pretty much, I think, every plant, right? But anyway, check out Green Things, their website, greenthingsaz.com. Also, Zocalo Village is there, all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe, much of it hand-carved, beautiful things. The Pima County Health Department has been honored with the 2021 Gold Innovation Practice Award. This award is given by the National Association of County and City Health Officials. The department earned the award for the creative, community-focused work being done by the by mitigating COVID-19 in communities of color. It's a top award for the Pima County Health Department. And now joining us on the live line is the Pima County Public Health Director, Dr. Teresa Cullen, Terry Cullen, former Assistant U.S. Surgeon General. She joined Pima County June 1st, so her one-year anniversary as the public health director has did pass. So she's just now into her second year, and she joins us now on the live line. Terry Cullen, how are you, Dr. Cullen?
I'm good. Thanks so much for inviting me to your show.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. Tell me about this award. This is a pretty big deal.
You know, it is a big deal, and it's really a tribute not just to the health department, but to our community-based organization partners, and the people that are in the community that are participating in the vaccination effort. The award was given to us for work we've done, like you noted, in communities of color. So what we've done is really focus on areas that have traditionally been underserved, both from a healthcare perspective, but also because they have social vulnerability. And we worked with those communities, and we continue to work with those communities to increase our communication, our education, our information, and ultimately our vaccination efforts. We're doing this work in conjunction with some community-based organizations, including the International Rescue Committee, IRC, but also feet on the ground, you know, this whole concept of being in the community. And the way we've been doing that is by leveraging community health workers who've been parts of the healthcare delivery system in the county, in the state, and in the country for a while, but really have gotten new recognition for the value that they bring when they interact with the community. So we're really excited to be honored. We've never received this before. We're one of 8 gold awards, which is the top, which is awesome. And we're hoping to leverage that to continue to be able to do the work that we've started because of that funding opportunity.
Well, I'm glad I could bring that to our listeners. That award hasn't gotten a lot of media attention, and I think it should get some attention, and that's why I wanted to start our discussion with you with it. What a year this has been. You took over June 1st, really at the height of the pandemic. Let's review, go over this year. Let's start at the beginning. When you started out, what was the situation like in Pima County? What were some of your feelings at that time?
Well, I think at that time, if you go back and you look at the data, and we can focus initially just on the case data, you know, it was still early in the pandemic. We were seeing 200 to 300 cases a week, which, interestingly enough, appears to be where we are now. So that's really good news. So, but let me take you, I can take you almost full circle in some ways. So then you will recall approximately in June and July, we had what we thought was a high spike, and that was about 2,000 to 3,000 cases a week. And then we quickly moved into the summer months last time where we did okay. We had that little spike around when the university came back. You'll recall the health department at that point recommended a stay-in-place recommendation that we did in conjunction with the university. We actually quickly got over that, probably because there was adherence to that, especially in the census tracts right around the university. And then, as we all remember, we quickly entered into the winter months. Remember December, January, February? At the height, we had over 9,000 cases in 1 week.
Wow.
Was that
spike in early January, February?
Yes. That is what we call Morbidity and Mortality Week Report. That's
wow.
called MMWR. And that was the week of January 3rd to January 9th. So what would have been almost the first week of 2021. And then we have, and remember, it seemed to last forever, I have to say.
Yeah.
You know, it went on and
oh,
on
yeah.
like for 2.5 months. And then we've gradually come out of that. You know, a lot of that is coordinated with vaccine. We started, our first vaccinations were given the week of December 15th. Remember, we wouldn't expect to see any results from them till you get a little bump of antibodies that first shot, but really the second shots. Remember, that was just Pfizer. And now as we enter into some very hot months, hot weeks coming up, we're back to around 200 to 300 cases a week, which is once again where we were about a week, about a year ago. So we've made progress. Huge tolls, I think, were taken during that. Lots of deaths, lots of suffering, lots of people not being able to see their loved ones, feeling isolated.
Did you make the right decisions, do you think? Were the right calls made concerning masks in Pima County and efforts to try to mitigate the COVID-19?
God, what a great question, right? it's that crystal ball in retrospect
sure.
and going forward. I think we did make the right calls. We have committed ourselves to do, and we're in the process of about halfway through the process, doing what we call an after action report, which mm-hmm. is looking not only at the actions that we took as the health department, the recommendations, the public health advisories we put, but also what resources we had made available to the community. Did we make the right resources? Did we put vaccine and testing in the right place? You'll recall the county made a large commitment to testing. I would say probably one of the best testing programs in the country because we made it free and we made it accessible and we made it ubiquitous so people could go lots of different places and get it. It's been the same model we've used for vaccination. You know, masks, while they were very controversial, we know they work. The data and the science is there to prove that they are an effective tool to use to help stop and mitigate transmission of the virus. So, you know, it's hard to say, right? If we hadn't done that, what would we have looked like? I think we would have looked a lot worse. And remember, we had that horrible moniker. At one point, we were the worst in the world, the
mm-hmm.
highest number
yes.
of cases. And we've been able to come out of that. And, you know, now we're hopefully entering into a healing and recovery and resiliency phase for the county and for the residents of the county.
Interesting front page story in the Arizona Daily Star about certain, this was Sunday's paper, about certain areas of Pima County reaching immunity. And this whole issue of what's called, commonly referred to as herd immunity, is kind of controversial, isn't it, in the medical community. But generally speaking, how are we doing overall with our vaccination program?
So we're great for the state. So the data today would show that we have about, if we look at 18 and over, we're at about 54.5% of people are fully immunized. So they've either got two shots of Moderna or Pfizer or one of J&J, and they're at least 2 weeks out after they receive their second shot. So significant numbers. Our community that is 65 and over is almost at 80% immunity.
Wow.
So that, yeah, it's huge. That story looked exactly at numbers based on zip code. And we also have our data available by census tract and by jurisdiction and by school district. And that is available on a public website because one of our commitments is to communication and transparency. If you go to that website and if you just, you know, put in Pima County COVID-19 dashboard, vaccine dashboard, you'll be able to find that data. But what we see there is increasing numbers. As we know, they've dropped off the acceleration phase. You know, the phase when I was getting emails every day saying, I can't get my vaccine. What are you going to do?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't get those emails anymore. I actually wish I did because I could say, oh, there's 30 places you can go. So let's move along. But I do think what we have seen is a great effort. Our community partners, once again, have been wonderful. Our pharmacies, some of our primary care providers have really, University of Arizona, TMC, have really gone a step beyond what they ever needed to do and have stayed to make sure that we are trying to continue to move ahead with our vaccination. The herd immunity, people, we use that word. Community immunity might be less offensive to some people. They don't think of people as herd.
Yes.
But from a community immunity perspective, we do have these 8 zip codes that are more than 70%. We have over 40 census tracts, which is like a smaller part of a zip code, which have met that. But what I remind people, and I reminded the university this in the fall all the time, there's not a moat around your zip code or your census tract.
Sure.
People are coming in and out. It's a porous border. It's not really even a border. It's a geographic description. And so for all of us, we need to encourage people that haven't sought immunization for many reasons. People haven't, but we really just continue to encourage people to get vaccinated. We know vaccination works. The one thing that we can look at is as we look at our declining cases, we can correlate that with our increased immunity that has come from vaccination. And the one thing I just want to remind your listeners, because people who had COVID, like myself, I had COVID in December, may think they don't need to get immunized. They should get immunized. There are obviously some medical reasons why people choose to not get immunized and other personal reasons. But beyond that, people should choose to get immunized, even if they've had the disease. There's no indication your side effects will be more than you had previously. There's no indication that there is any adverse effects because you previously had COVID. There's actually some data that would indicate people that may be developing long-haul COVID, which is people that have had persistent symptoms of COVID, may actually get a benefit from being immunized. So we would encourage listeners to seek immunity through immunization, even if they've previously been infected.
All right, Dr. Terry Cullen, stick around. We've got another segment for you. But Dr. Cullen, right now I'm going to talk about one of our great sponsors, New Mexico. Dr. Cullen has done just a great job with getting the population over the Land of Enchantment vaccinated. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our long-term sponsors here on the Buckmaster Show, welcoming out-of-state visitors again, just a 3-hour drive from Tucson, New Mexico. I think they may lead the nation in terms of the number, percentage of population who have been vaccinated. But I'll tell you, here's another incentive. The Buckmaster Show guarantee it will be 10 degrees cooler in Silver City, at least, because of the mile-high elevation. It's 88 degrees. That's not half bad at the midday hour over in Silver City. Silver City. The weekend doesn't look too bad either. Mid-90s or so in Silver City. The nights cool down nicely to around 60, 65 degrees, somewhere like that. Vicinity, only a three-hour drive over to Silver City. Find out more by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. More with Dr. Terry Cullen, the health director in Pima County, right after this.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And with us on the live line is the Pima County Department of Health Public Health Director, Dr. Terry Cullen. And we had a call during the break, and Sue would like to ask Dr. Cullen a question. Go ahead, Sue.
Hi, Dr. Cullen. I would like to know about these concerns of children in, I think it's in the state of Florida, who are having heart issues, heart inflammation after taking the vaccine.
Sue, it's a great question. So let me talk a little bit about overall about safety of the vaccines and then specifically with that. As you're probably aware, there is a methodology and a process in place for providers or individual people to report any adverse effect. It's a thing called VAERS, V-A-E-R-S, Vaccine Adverse Effect Reporting System. We use it not just for COVID. It's been in place a long time so that we can monitor any adverse effect. There have been those reports coming in from Florida. The CDC and the FDA monitor them, and the important thing is for us to discern whether that is due to the vaccine and or if it is rising to an what we would call an incident level, how often it is happening, that it can be causally related to the vaccine. I don't want to undermine the fact that these are being reported right now. We don't know whether it is due to the vaccine and or due to other things that can cause this kind of inflammation. During viral season, we see what we call viral inflammation of the heart quite often. So I would say we need to stay tuned. I would remind people that an example of this is during Johnson & Johnson, you'll recall, remember J&J went on a hiatus for a while as we waited to look at the blood clot issue that might have been affiliated with that. So what will happen is there will be ongoing monitoring of this situation. And if the FDA and or the CDC or ACIP, which is the commission that looks at immunization practices, believes that there is a correlation that is concerning, meaning they're seeing it in a higher incidence, then they will be alerting the public. We monitor what's coming out on a regular basis in terms of adverse events.
All right.
Great question.
Thank you, Sue, for the question. Dr. Cullen, we've got the viral system season, which will the flu shots will be typically given beginning in August. And we had a virtual kind of disappearance of the flu season last year. It'll be very interesting to see what happens this time around. I think one of the reasons people that we saw less flu is people were wearing masks, but that's just my opinion. It's going to be interesting to see how that will play out now, but it would probably be very wise to continue with the hand washing and good hygiene, wouldn't it, through the summer?
Yeah, you know, we implemented that thing called layered mitigation. The three W's were part of it: wear, wash, wait. Remember, wait is look for 6 feet between people. Mm-hmm. All those things are great indications that they prevent disease. I'll tell you a very interesting tidbit. Last summer, you remember, we had the horrible fires.
Yes.
And one of the chief medical officers for the firefighters met with me, and he said, you know, we are washing our hands, and what we're not seeing is something called camp crud. You can imagine what that is.
Oh.
But they saw a significant decrease in diarrheal diseases in the firefighters that they attributed to the fact that everybody really was washing their hands and keeping their distance. So those methods, wear, wash, wait, have benefit for transmission of any viral diseases. We do know right now, just to remind people, that you can get two vaccinations at the same time. For a while, we were saying if you got another vaccine, you had to wait 2 weeks between COVID or that vaccine. As we enter flu season, we will be making COVID and influenza vaccines available at the same time. There's no indication that we need to separate them.
And no decision yet on whether a booster shot will be needed for the COVID.
Right. No decisions. And I think the data is really pointing out to us that we've anticipated the potential need for it from a county perspective and are developing a methodology by which we would be able to support that. But I think we're looking 6, 9, 12 months of for sure immunity from the shots. So given that we didn't start till last December and very few people got shots in December, perhaps the earliest we will see that in January. But once again, I don't have a crystal ball and the science keeps changing.
Of course. Dr. Terry Cullen, a pleasure, and I'll look forward to our next conversation. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. Everyone have a great day.
Thank you very much. Okay. Dr. Terry Cullen, the Pima County Health Director, with us on the Buckmaster Show as we wrap up Thursday edition. We have Sheriff Nanos with us for our Friday Focus interview tomorrow, along with my buddy Dan Scheer will be with me in studio as well with the sheriff. Speaking of buddies, thank you very much, buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Have a great afternoon, everybody.